As you know, with me, most of the stuff that I minister comes from things that I've dealt with in my past in my life, but it's ways that God has shown himself faithful to me. And I'm not conceited enough to think that I'm the only one that God has been faithful to. I know there's people who've been here that have been through way worse than I can ever even imagine. But yet God has still been faithful to us. And there are a lot of people out there who just don't know. So maybe you don't need this message specifically this morning, but I encourage you to listen because maybe it might give you something that you can use to help minister to somebody else. Or maybe it might spark something that you can put in your memory that maybe the next time you are going through something, that you can pull back on that and remember. I'm reminded of that. I hadn't heard it in a while, but I was reminded of that song that Torrin Wells did. He's God of the Hills and the Valleys. Anybody heard that song? And I really got to thinking about that. And what does that truly mean? Because, okay, yes, there's hills and there's valleys. And, you know, we all go through those ups and the downs. You know, for those of us who like roller coasters, you know, there's that thrill of getting to the top of the roller coaster when you can just kind of look around the theme park and see all the stuff that's going on and that slight excitement knowing that you're about to, you know, plummet and experience those G's. You know, there's something about being on that mountaintop. That mountaintop experience. I love nature photographs. It's where you see someone who's at this peak and you just see the mountains and the beautiful scenes. We used to drive out to North Carolina in the fall, and something about seeing just the color of the leaves change as you drive through the mountains, it's just so beautiful and so peaceful. But yet we all also have those valley times. It's where maybe things in life aren't going good. Things in life don't go good, and we're dealing with struggles. Maybe it's even something that we've dealt before. I love that song that Missy wrote because sometimes we wonder, God, why am I going down this road again? I thought I wasn't going to have to go down this road anymore. I thought I was over this. I thought we were past this, but yet here I am again. But our God does not change. Our God does not change. We all go through struggles. We have friends that go through struggles. And sometimes we need to be the ones, sometimes we've been through that, we need to be the ones that are encouraging others. We need to be the ones that are holding people up. We've got to get past this seeing other people hurting and just walking by. You know, that old proverb in the Bible, you know, the priest saw the guy, went to the other side of the road. The other guy comes, said, oh, I can't help him. I got somewhere I got to be. And it came time for the Samaritan, the guy that wasn't even supposed to help the guy. And what did he did? He took care of everything. What did he do? Thank you. Give me some math problems. I can handle math. But what did he do? He helped him. It wasn't his place. It wasn't his responsibility. It wasn't someone saying, hey, you need to go help this person. It's he happened to see with his eyes that someone needed help. And he simply said, I am blessed. This is what I can do. So that's what he did. He just did what he could do. He didn't have to draw on some resource or call his friends and say, hey, I need you to. He just did what he could do. And sometimes that's what we have to do when we see people, when we see family, when we see friends, and we have the ability to help them. Sometimes we just need to do that. We just need to reach out and help them. You know, Jesus, even Jesus, knowing what he was about to endure on the cross, had a few of the disciples go with him to pray. And all he said was, stay here and pray with me. Just pray. He wasn't asking them to do anything complicated. He knew what was about to happen. So he goes off to pray. And he comes back, and what are they doing? They're sleeping. He's like, can't you pray just an hour with me? Can't you just an hour pray with me? Because, you know, he had tried to warn them what was going to happen. And, you know, they just weren't comprehending. He was the Messiah. He was the deliverer. He was going to free them from Rome. They weren't sure how, but they just knew he was going to do it. They just refused to believe the fact that something was going to happen to him, even though he tried to warn them. So even Jesus knows what it's like when we go through those valley times. You know, when the people that we expect to be our friends, to have our back, we go and find them sleeping, and we get frustrated, and we get aggravated. And they didn't do it on purpose. They were probably, you know, they walked, I mean, they'd probably walked 15 miles that day, because everywhere they went, they walked and they were ministering and they were constantly busy and constantly doing stuff. So they were probably tired, and it's nighttime. So, you know, it's warm, it's night, you're tired, you sit down, you get quiet, you get sleepy. But sometimes we need people. And sometimes we have to realize that just because no one's there doesn't mean that no one cares. Maybe it's just for whatever reason, God has picked this time for us to endure this, to get through it. Not saying that sometimes we don't do stupid things. I can raise both hands, probably both feet on that one if I could. As we go through life, anybody ever do anything dumb? You know, I can think of times in life that the only time I've removed one foot from my mouth was to insert the other one in. You know, I get myself, you know, that old adage, you know, best to be thought wise and keep silence, or better to be thought a fool and stay silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Yeah, I'm really, really good at removing all that doubt sometimes. I'm learning. I'm still not there yet. But we have to get to the point to where it goes beyond just us. And when we get to those valley moments, sometimes there are those. Sometimes we see those around us that are there to help us and will help us to get through. But sometimes we need to realize that they're not our answer. They're not the ones that are there to provide everything. Maybe God is using them as a tool to help get us what we need. But sometimes we have to realize we just need Jesus. We need God to move. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us on the inside. We're dealing with something that no words that anybody is going to say is going to be able to calm the storm that's going on the inside of me and the things that are going on in my head. Sometimes we just need Jesus to whisper, "Peace, be still." Sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit to move in our life and to speak to us and calm us down and for us to realize God's got this. He's got this. It says in John chapter 12, starting at verse 44, it says, Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them," I had to read this twice. "Anyone who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person." What is one of the biggest things that you see in society, especially if you are on any kind of social media these days? It's everybody judging everybody for everything. Whether it's their fault, whether it's not their fault, whether it's the hand that life dealt them, everybody is judging everybody for everything. And then I thought about that. Well, what about, you know, those who aren't living? It says, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them in the last day. It's not our place to judge. The society is doing such a good job of that by themselves, judging everybody for everything. What does the Bible, the Word of God, what does it tell us that we should do? Love. How will they know that you are my disciples? The love that you have one for another. It doesn't say only love them if they live a certain way. It doesn't say only love them if they live in a certain kind of house. It doesn't say only love them if they only have certain kind of jobs or drive certain kind of cars or live in certain. It just says love them. It doesn't mean we agree with the way that they're necessarily living their life. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything that we're saying. And through loving people, it opens up a door and an opportunity for us later to show them God's love. But you're never going to get an opportunity to show someone the love of God if you go into a situation with your mind already made up of how they're supposed to be. God created you individual. He created me individual. He created everybody individually. We don't know. Even the stuff that might be similar that we go through, that other people have gone through, it's still not the same. We are not them. We don't see through their eyes the way that they see and percept and the way that they deal in the storms that they deal with in their mind. Sometimes we have to get past that to realize, you know what? All they need is love. They need somebody to show them Jesus. And maybe it's not, you know, coming in and throwing a Bible at them. Maybe it's just showing them decent kindness to start with. And use that to open the door later to show them love. Once they see that, you know, because if you come in mentioning Jesus and start talking all holy, there's a lot of people out there that have been hurt by church. And if you start mentioning that right off the bat, they're going to shut you down, shut you off. So many times in the Bible, Jesus, you know, when he walked up to the guy at the pool of Bethesda, what did he say? Will you be made whole? Is what he asked him. That was what he started with. Will you be made whole? Can I pray for you? Is how he started. And then after the fact, he realized who Jesus was and that he needed him. Sometimes people just need to get past what's in front of their face. Because let's face it, when we go through the storms of life, the stuff that's in front of our face right now so many times blinds us from anything else that's going on in life. Because we can't see past the storm that's going on right now. And let's face it, when you're going through that storm, it's very hard to see anything else because you're just focusing on staying afloat in the middle of that storm. When Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side, they hit the storm. They weren't focusing on the other side. They weren't thinking about the other side. They were thinking, I don't want to die in this storm. So much that they had to go wake Jesus up because the storm was that real. God speaks to us and tells us that, but we get sometimes distracted by the things that are in front of our face. And that's when we hold each other up and say, you know what? You got this. You can get through this. I'll pray with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll be there for you. If you got an appointment, let me know. If I can be there, I will. You know, that's what we do. We help each other get through those storms. But sometimes, even with all the people around you, sometimes the storm's raging so strong on the inside of us that we just need Jesus. We just need the peace. The Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. If you've ever experienced that, it's like seeing a sunset. It's so hard to describe. Because when you're in the middle of your storm, whatever that storm may be, and you're dealing with it, and you're dealing with your mind, because the mind is where we have some of our biggest battles, and we're dealing with all the stuff that's in our mind, and we can't get past that stuff. But there's something about when we pray and say, you know what? I just need Jesus. Jesus, I just need you. And we pray to God and ask him to help us, and that peace that comes over us. You can't explain it. There's not words to say. I mean, it's like a breath of fresh air when you've been holding your breath for as long as you can. It's just that, thank you, God. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to get back to Jesus. Why not Jesus? At some point in time, we've all probably hit what we would consider rock bottom in our lives. Maybe you've already had and you've realized that you've bounced back stronger. Because what happens is, you know, when you break a bone and the bone heals, it generally grows back stronger. I remember, you know, growing up not knowing a whole lot about how things worked. I remember when I took woodshop class and the teacher walked up and he had a board and he just snapped the board in two on the corner of a table, put wood glue on it, put a clamp on it and said, let's check this out tomorrow. Like, okay, it's broken. He fixed it. We come in tomorrow. He takes that same board, bangs it on the table, and it broke, but in a different spot. The glue actually held stronger than the original part of the wood because it was put back together, and there's an understanding. When we go through stuff in life, when there's the stuff that we deal with, when we get to that other side, if we will stop just for a moment and look and reflect on what God has brought us through, not just the fact that we've gotten through it, but when we stop and think, God, thank you for getting me through this. Thank you for moving in my life. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for delivering me from that situation. When we get to the other side and realize God helped me through that. He gave me the strength to endure. He gave me the way out when I needed the way out. He is the reason. So when we go through other struggles, when we go through other things in life, we get a little bit stronger on the inside of that. The problem is there's a lot of people who are in rock bottom right now. The world being what it is, I mean, don't even have to start to talk about that. We just know, just the world being what it is, there's a lot of people who are not in a good place right now in the world. There's a lot of people struggling. There's a lot of people hurting. You know, it only takes one natural disaster to change our world. I was reminded of the Home Alone 2 movie, and there was the homeless lady that Macaulay Culkin, or Kevin, kept talking to in you know, because we see these people, we see them homeless, we see them struggling, we see people, I mean, any day of the week you see someone standing at the corner at Walmart or at a grocery store, and we're quick to say, you know, why don't they just go get a job? Maybe they've tried. We don't know the situations and the circumstances. Yes, I'm not going to deny it. There are people out there who will try to manipulate the system and will try to get something for nothing, and there's nothing wrong. There are people like that, but that's not our place. Our place is to do what God has put in our heart, to do what we know is right. God will sort out the details in the end. That's what he does. But this lady, you know, as he's talking to her and they're talking, she says, I was once a normal person. I once had this stuff. And she experienced heartbreak. And then from that heartbreak, she learned to not trust. And her root of not trusting got into her job, got into her profession. She lost her life. She lost all the people that she cared about. And next thing you know, we don't know the situations and the circumstances that land people where they're at. We see someone that's going through something and you know, I've been guilty of it in the past, too. We automatically put together all the pieces of their life and how they ended up in this situation. We don't know. We have no idea how they ended up there. But what we know was once we get to that point, once we've experienced that, whatever we've experienced in life, and we get to that bottom point, sometimes we have to get there to realize that it's not us. Sometimes there's nothing that we can do to change our situation. There's nothing in and of ourselves. Sometimes we just need to know that Jesus can help. We need to know Jesus. Why not Jesus? I heard someone tell me one time they've tried everything else in the world. He told me, I've tried drugs, I've tried alcohol, I've tried all these other things. I'm going to try Jesus. And I said, I can help you with that. And it opened the door for conversation and allowed me to help him some. Because he's tried all that stuff and it didn't land him anywhere. There's so many escapes for the world to go. There's so many ways to deal with stuff. And it's our responsibility as the church, it's our responsibility as followers of Christ to give people hope, to give people love, to show them that there's a better way out. Because if we leave them to their own devices, the world's got a way to help people deal with stuff. You know, the world tries through drugs, alcohol, all this other stuff. But what we don't realize, and sometimes when you're in that situation, you just want the pain to go away. You just want everything to be numb for a little while because you've dealt with it. You can't deal with the stress. You just need your mind to ease for a little bit. So you turn to all these things and you think, I just need some numbness. I just need the pain to go away. But all the world does is offer you a quick and temporary fix. And that's what it is. It's temporary. It doesn't last because it wears off and then you have to go for it again. It wears off, and then you have to go for it again. And sometimes it has to be increasing. What worked before doesn't work anymore. You have to keep increasing it. You need more to just get to that level point to where it's okay. It says in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Hopefully this sounds somewhat familiar to you because we've been talking about it for a while. It says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. When the parents are going through things, and we don't understand why the parents are going through things, maybe it's their own choices, maybe it's stuff that the world's dealt with them, but I've seen so many kids growing up and even as adult, kids that suffer because parents make bad choices. And the thing is, it's not that they're not loving parents. It's not that they don't care. It's that they've become entrapped in this loop of, I just need the pain to go away. And next thing you know, they're focused so much on that pain that they lose sight of the very things that are close and dear to them, which is why people, what's that old saying? Hurt people, hurt people. Because when you're hurt, you push away those. You say things that are irrational because your mind is convinced and trapped in this loop. And that's what the devil does, is he gets us trapped in this loop of, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm stuck. I've just got to figure out how to get it fixed now. I just got to figure out how to get it fixed now. But that's not, Jesus has a way that helps us get past and get through all that and helps sustain us. When we let him, when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, it gets us to that sustaining point where we realize, and that's the goal, is to get to that point that no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what, how big that storm may be, we just say, you know what, whatever, God's got this. I'm just going to keep on moving forward. And some days it's hard to move forward. When you're walking through a wind, anybody ever been in like a really severe wind? I remember several years ago, we happened to be in New Orleans about the time the hurricane, the last remaining parts of a hurricane were coming through. And I remember just trying to walk down the street. I mean, you had to lean to the point to where if the wind wasn't blowing, you would fall flat on your face. But you had to lean so strong into that wind just to take a step. And sometimes we deal with that in life. We don't know what's going on. We're just trying to get one step. Sometimes we just have to focus. I just need to take this next step. I just need to get this next step. But what we have to do is when we're taking that next step, we need to realize that we're not alone, that we're not taking that next step alone, but we got somebody behind us. He's got his hand on our back, and he's keeping us from going backwards. And as we take a step, he takes a step with us. And as we take another step, he's stepping with us. And he's helped carrying us and get us through those storms because we're not alone. You know, Jesus said, it's imperative that I go. So I can send one that will be your comforter, that's going to help you get through those things, that will speak to you. I can't imagine what it was like in the Bible times without the presence of God moving around. I've gotten so used to God in my life that it's hard for me to understand that God didn't just move. He only spoke to the priests in the temple and the very select few apostles and prophets. So it's hard for me to imagine. And the thing is, we don't have to imagine it. God is with us everywhere we go, everything that we do, every storm we face, every positive thing that we do, every promotion we get on our job, every new vehicle that we are allowed to purchase, whether it's just new for us or brand new off the factory floor, it don't matter. God celebrates with us. And the things that we have that are happy in our life are because of him. It's the things that he helps grant us and that we work for and that we do. And he celebrates with us. And we should be celebrating with each other. But the storms are the same. As we're going through that stuff, he's not just a friend in the good times. You want those? There's a lot of those out in the world. A lot of people have found those. When you got the money, when you got the stuff to help them party, to help them have a good time, they're right there by your side. But as soon as the money dries up and as soon as you don't have what they need, they're gone. And you're left to clean up the mess. That's what the world does. That's not what the world needs from us. That's not what the world needs from the church. They need to know that there's somebody that's going to say, you know what? You're dealing with a hard time. I'm standing right here beside you. Let me help you through this. Maybe they don't want the help right now, but just stand there. Sometimes just the presence of being there is more than anything that we can say. Just knowing that somebody's going to stand here with me. Sometimes that's what they need. Sometimes we just need to pray for them, pray with them, because they just need to know. Why not Jesus? Let's give Jesus a try. We've tried all this other stuff. You've tried this. We've been down these roads. We've been down these circles. Let's give Jesus a try. Let's see what he can do. And when he steps in, oh man, the whole picture changes. Sometimes the battles get so strong in our mind that it blocks out everything. And those are the dangerous moments. Because I'm human. I deal with stuff just like everybody else does. You know, maybe, hopefully it hasn't happened too often in your life, but can you ever think of that time when you were pushed just to that point to where you were about to snap, that you've had about all you can take? And sometimes, you know, if this goes on anymore, I know I'm going to say or do something that I know I shouldn't do. And we deal with those battles in our mind. I was reminded of this. Revenge never turns out well. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans 12 and 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." You don't have to worry about all those people that have hurt you. You don't. It's not your responsibility to keep tab on all those people that have messed with you, that have brought your life down. That's not your job. You don't need to worry about those. And it says, "For it is written." Where is it written? Glad you asked. Deuteronomy. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. It says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. The day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." It's not your job to get revenge. It's not your job to make sure everybody gets what's theirs. Because, I mean, honestly, let's face it, we've been the ones sometimes that if I got what was mine, that probably wouldn't be pretty either. But it is the mercy and the grace of God. And it goes back with the scripture that we read earlier, that we give people love regardless. We love people regardless. Why was it so hard that when Jesus said, "Love your enemies," the disciples were like, "God, you got to increase my faith for this one"? Because it's hard. It's hard to pray for those that persecute you. It's hard to pray for those who are talking behind your back, who are backstabbing you and saying one thing to your face and something else to everybody else. It is hard, but we pray for them. We pray that God opens their eyes. You don't pray ill will on them. You don't pray, "God, get them." That's not the way. If they don't repent, God's like, "I got this. You don't worry about it. You just keep moving forward." Because the problem is, if we spend too much time looking behind us at what happened, if we spend too much time looking at the hurts and the hangups and the things that of what people done, we're not looking forward, and we're going to trip ourselves. I remember it went viral. It was so funny. There was a guy at a wedding who was trying he was a photographer trying to get a picture of the bride and groom coming down the aisle at their magical moment. And he's holding the camera ever so steady and walking backwards. Next thing you know, you just see the camera fly up in the air because the guy tripped and fell in a fountain. He was focusing too much behind him and not enough in front of him. He wasn't paying attention to where he was going, but where he had been. And it's funny, but if we think about it, we do the same thing. You know, I ministered a couple weeks ago. What happens when we see that person at Walmart that we know is talking about us? Do we love them through it? That's the kind of person I am. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to love them. I'm going to walk up and give them a hug anyway. Why not? I'm going to shake their hands, say hello, act like nothing's going on. Because what happens is if you act like nothing's going on, then they're going to eat up on the inside of them and say, "Well, do they know? Do they know what I said? Why are they acting so nice to me?" And then you just let God take care of them. We need to quit spending so much time trying to avenge ourselves and take care of all the people around us. If the world would just focus a little bit more on themselves and quit worrying about everybody else, it would be a whole lot better place. We're too concerned about trying to get back at our neighbors and making things right and judging people for stuff. If we just realize that's all not important. What's important is helping those, loving those. When we see people hurting, building them up. Sometimes we have to realize that God places value on you, regardless of what happens. You know, you can take an old, I mean, think about it. Some of this stuff that they're digging out of the ground, some of these old artifacts from some of these old Egypt civilizations, when they get them out of the ground, what do they look like? They look like dirt. They're dirty. They're completely covered in mud because they've been buried in the ground for hundreds of years. And they get them out and they're dirty. And what happens is you have to take care to get the dirt off. You have to spend some time cleaning. You have to spend some time. It's not a quick process. You don't just stick it underneath the hose and squirt it off because you might break it. It's fragile. But you take the time because it's valuable, because those old artifacts are worth something because they're valuable, because there's not a lot of them around. What determines something value? One of the first things that will determine a thing's value is its rarity. The more rare something is, the more valuable it is, because you can't get it anywhere else. You are the only you that God created. There is not another person like you anywhere in the world. He put things on the inside of you to make you specifically who you are. And just in that, knowing that you are the only you has tremendous value. You are worth something. There are too many people out there caught in loops in relationships where people tell them that they're worth nothing. I've seen it happen with girls and with guys. I had a I've lived it on both sides of the storm, where the people they were with, when things were good, I mean, we've probably known people, when things were good, they were great, and when they weren't, they were horrible in relationships. I'm here to tell you, you've got to stop putting yourself through that over and over and over again. If you've been in a bad relationship and you've gotten yourself out of it, don't go back to that. God's got something better. God has more value in you for you to have to endure things over and over and over and over again. It's not that we don't forgive. It's not that we don't love that person. It's not that we don't care about them. We will probably care about them. If you've had a relationship with someone, you will care about them or at least think about them for most of the rest of your life, at least when you see them. You can't make that go away. But what you can realize is you don't have to endure. You don't have to put yourself in those situations to where you're getting hurt over and over and over again. Sometimes you just have to walk away. And you have to realize that God has more value in you for you to not have to endure that. God has something out there for you. If you're dealing with a job and your job is horrible and you're getting berated every day at your job and it's horrible, keep your eyes open. Pray that God will open a door and watch for that door. Sometimes the doors are open and we just are so stuck in where we're at that we can't see the open door. We have to break the loop. If you continue that loop, if you don't do something different, nothing's ever going to change. You're just continuing to go back into that loop. I'm not saying people can't change, but I'm saying sometimes you have to realize, pray, follow that peace of God, and if that's done, get out of there. Don't invite it back. It may come back apologizing. It may come back like everything's okay, but no, God has something. I'm telling you this morning, God has something better for you. God has something better. If God puts a dream in your heart, if you've had a dream of starting your own business, don't just quit your job and go off and try. Do your homework. Figure out what it's going to take to start that business. Figure out, you know, how do I get my LLC? How do I go about all these steps? And do that while you're in your current position, but look for that way out. If you just want a better job with more benefits, start looking. Don't just quit your job and say, okay, I'm going to go, because you're leaving yourself and your family unprotected. You have to make sure that you protect what you have, but you still look for those doors. You look for the openings that God is providing for you, because he will. If you take the time and pray and ask, he will provide. And if you don't see the open door, keep praying and keep doing and keep moving forward. Because maybe now's not the time. Maybe you're dealing with a situation. You're at a position in a job and you don't like your job, but maybe you're there because someone that you work with, maybe you have a divine appointment with them to minister to them. Maybe you're there. The whole reason you're at that company is to minister to one particular person. Maybe God is setting that up for you for that opportunity. Maybe you haven't got there yet. You just keep being faithful. Trust in Jesus. It all doesn't happen immediately, but God's got a plan. He knows what you're going through. It says in Jeremiah 1 and 5, we just come through this in the Known Conference. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God's got a plan for you. He put value on you. You are worth it. You are worth it. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of how much they try to belittle you or I hate social. I don't even get on it. I mean, I check Facebook usually about once a week to see what we're having for food on Wednesday nights on Solid Rock's Facebook page. Every now and then I'll get on because I have a few friends from high school that have moved away, and they post pictures sometimes, and one guy likes to travel, and he puts some awesome pictures on there, so I get on to see the pictures he puts, but I don't even scroll on that stuff anymore because it's just so depressing. You're not getting truth. you're getting someone's highlight reel. You're getting, this is all the great stuff in my life. Or, you know, you have those others, you know, I breathed a minute ago. I'm breathing now. I'm going to breathe again. I'm standing up now. I'm going to take a step. You get every single picture of it. Come on. Sometimes I wish there was a thumb down button. But then we would make people feel bad. Can't do. Come on, we need all those Gen Xers. We need to toughen up, don't we? we made a game out of making fun of each other. I mean, that's what no one got their feelings hurt. If you didn't have a nickname, you felt left out. That's just the way we were. It wasn't that we were trying to hurt each other. It was that we were. It was just fun and how we bonded. We got to quit getting our feelings hurt so easy. We got to quit being upset so easy, because if we spend all this time focusing, well, I'm not getting what I deserve, and they're being mean to me, and this isn't happening the way I want it to. It's not about you. It's about him. And if we look and say, okay, put me aside for a second. Let me step back and let's push Jesus to the front. What can we do in this situation? Because he's got a plan. He places value on you. He will give you patience to wait for his choice. I heard this saying not too long ago, and I thought it was pretty cool. It says, if you always find yourself as the smartest person in the room, you either need to learn to teach others or find a new room. Thought, wow, if we could just take on that a little bit, and if we could learn to keep our mouth shut and listen a little bit more, wow, what would happen if we did that? If we stopped talking all the time and just started listening to what other people had to say, maybe it would increase our compassion. Maybe it would increase how we feel towards others. Sometimes people decide they're going to turn to themselves instead of turn to God. You know, not saying there isn't, you know, some good to it, but, you know, there's the woman, hear me roar, or guy say, because I'm a man. Get over yourself. It's about Jesus. Sometimes we have to realize the strength that is on the inside of us, and that is a good thing. We need to realize the women that you were created to be, the man that we were created to be, that God put things on the inside of us to do things for him. But we need to stop thinking that everybody's got to pay attention to me because I'm any particular way. That's nothing. Just because you are a particular way doesn't mean anybody needs to focus on you more than they need to focus on anybody else. We need to quit focusing on ourselves and start looking outward instead of inward, because that's where we find our value. That's where we find what it means to be the disciple, how the love that you have one for another. It's not because, oh, I love myself. No, it's because we love others. It's showing that love to others. It says in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. That is so hard. When you're going through, when you're in those valley moments, it is so hard to wait on those plans. But God is saying, wait, be patient. Let patience have her perfect work. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's verse 11. A lot of people just read that, but let's not stop there. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Sometimes it takes some of us getting to the bottom of that valley to realize that it's got to be, you know, we're going to have to turn this over to Jesus. It doesn't have to be you getting to the lowest point of your life to turn it to Jesus. What I'm saying is sometimes when you've gone through that stuff enough times, when it first starts, you say immediately, okay, nope, I recognize this for what it is. This is just another attack. God, I'm giving this to you. We've got to quit dealing with the same stuff over and over and over. Once we've been through the storm a couple times and God has gotten us through, we just need to stand on the fact that he's going to get us through. He's gotten me through so many times. There are so many things in my life that could have turned out so many different ways. So many generational curses that I chose not to be a part of, that I chose that was not going to be me. And I know there's others out here who have done the same. Just because your your dad, your uncles, your grandpa, going back as far as you know in your history, have dealt with these things doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't mean that it has to continue with you. Does it mean that it's going to be easy? No, it means it's probably going to be harder because you're going to be prone to those things. But it means that you need to stand up. You can break that. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to slip and fall, but it means I'm not going to stay when I fall down. I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep moving forward because God has called me to higher and better things. And when we put that faith and hope in Him, God's like, I got you. Let's move forward with this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. We got to quit thinking that we're anything. You know, what's that? All that in a bag of chips? No, I'm barely a crumb. It's God. It's God that I have and am able to do anything. We have to stand upon His word. Psalms 23. So many times we just think of this as the funeral scripture. But it is so, so much more. Let's read this. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and He restores my soul." That doesn't have to be once you're dead. That can be while you're alive. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You want to give the devil a black eye? You want to completely upside down his apple cart? When you're going through the midst of the storm, put a smile on your face and praise God. Because what He's used to doing, He tortures you, He torments us. That's what He does. He's constantly throwing stuff at us. But when we're in the midst of the storm, when we can laugh and say, "Tent, oh well, here we go again. God, this is yours, and I'm going to praise you anyway." When we do that, that just breaks that grip even more. Though we walk through the valley, when the world says you should be falling apart, when the world says that everything should be crumbling, that you should be a complete mess, but yet we're able to say, "You know what? God's got this. I know He's got it, so I'm just going to take another step forward and another step forward." Maybe we don't have it to where we can take off running just yet. Maybe it is just another step forward, but we've got to keep moving because God's got us. We're letting Jesus do this for us. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Does that sound like God wants you to be blessed? He wants you to be blessed. Because when we're blessed and we give the credit and the glory to God, that's showing others how good God is. When we get blessed and we say, "Look what I did, look what I earned, look." No, that's not giving people, pointing people. When we let people know where it come from, "I am blessed because God blesses me." And He can bless you too. That opens the doors. "He prepares the table before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Sounds like I'm still alive there. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When the time comes. When the time comes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But while I'm here, I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. I'm going to let my cup runneth over, and I'm going to tell everybody I can about the goodness of God. We've tried all of this other stuff. The Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning?" What comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. We get so caught and wrapped up in all this stuff, we have to remember it's just a season that we're walking through. Yes, it may be dark outside, but you know what? Every day it cycles. It's light then dark, light then dark. Sometimes we're going to have to go through some dark patches. It doesn't mean that the light's not right around the corner. When we trust in God and when we put our hope and our faith in Him, when we know, when we say, "Oh, okay, God, why not you? I'm just going to put my faith and hope and trust in you." When we quit worrying about it and we let the Holy Spirit come and do what He's supposed to do and give us peace and comfort in the middle of the storms, it makes those storms seem like nothing. It doesn't mean they're not beating around us, but our hope and our faith is in something higher than those storms. That's what He calls us to do. That joy comes in the morning. The world will probably call you crazy. I've been called that many a times. I've had so many people, Lou, how can you have a smile on your face? Why? Because I serve a good God. Amen. Yes, my life may be crazy. My God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a good, good God. Amen. Where does this peace come from? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what God can do for you. Praise and worship team, if you would come. Jesus left heaven, and for lack of any better way to put it, he endured earth. Of his own free will, he chose, knowing that we needed something, that we couldn't do this of ourselves. I've known so many people that, you know, they get this attitude, well, you know, I'm going to do it. They get this, I got to be tough. I can do this. I'm tough. I'm going to get through it. You're not meant to get through stuff alone. Yes, you need to be tough. You need to realize that you got it. Maybe Dwayne don't got it. If you're going through something today, or if you know somebody, most of us probably know somebody who's going through a rough spell in their life, they're going through stuff. You know, whether it's dealing, you know, for you teenagers, you're dealing with stuff at school, and it's bad. I mean, schools are rough these days. There's that old Will Smith song back when he used to think he was a singer that said, parents just don't understand. You know, parents understand more than you think. They really do. They've gone through similar situations. But in a sense, parents don't know exactly what you're going through. But there is somebody who does. There's somebody who knows the struggles, that see the torment at school. They see the stuff that you go through. They see all those who ridicule you, persecute you, the friends that stab you. He sees all that. It's just temporary. If I could tell you anything, it's just temporary. If you're dealing with grown-ups, if we're dealing with stuff in life, when we put our hope and our faith and our trust in Jesus, we need to realize it's just temporary. And you might say, Lou, but this is bad. I mean, this could take me out. The Bible tells us tomorrow's promised no man. And when our time comes on this earth, we win. That's the greatest thing of all. We win. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. I don't fear death. I'm not looking for it. That would just be dumb. But I don't fear it because I know when I get to that other side, it's just going to be an eternity of rejoicing. So we go through stuff. And when we've tried everything else, when we've done everything that we can to try to make it better, why not Jesus? Why not spend a little extra time in prayer? He knows already. He wants that relationship. A relationship is a two-way street. It's not just one person always doing all the talking and everything. No, it's a two-way street. Sometimes we talk, sometimes we listen to that still small voice on the inside of us. We allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us because we're not meant to do it alone. The devil will constantly, one of the hugest weapons that he uses against so many people is to try to make you think that you're alone. There are so many people out there who don't see hope. They don't see a way out. They need to know that someone cares. They need to know that there's something beyond what they've already tried that might work. It's like the guy I talked to, I've tried everything. I've done everything. Figured, why not Jesus? I'll give Jesus a try. God is good. We deal with stuff. I'm not saying that all your problems are going to go away. I'm not saying that everything's going to be great. I don't know the answer. I don't know why prayers don't get answered immediately. That's not my call. But I will say, in the midst of the waiting, I will learn to climb mountains while I'm waiting on my mountain to move. Because I'm just going to keep going towards Jesus. I'm going to keep going, keeping him in front of me. When Paul said, I've finished my course, I've run my race, he kept Jesus in front of him. Knowing, he knew what was coming for him. He knew that, you know, he only had a few days left to live when he was writing that. But he was still encouraging others. He was still writing letters to encourage Timothy, to encourage the others, saying, keep on. You can do this. And that's what he's asked us to do. So if you would bow your heads with me this morning. Before any of that starts, before we can get any of that, sometimes we just have to start with accepting Jesus for who he is. So I'm going to ask you all, if you would, repeat this after me this morning. And if you're watching at home, you can do this too. Just put your hand on your heart and say, dear God in heaven, please forgive me for all the things that I've done that I know are not right. Help me to draw closer to you. Forgive my sins. I accept you as my Savior. Help me to be more like you. I know you're preparing a place for me, and I will walk in hope towards the higher ground and the place in heaven for me. Father, I pray for everyone that's here this morning. Father, as we do one more praise song, I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you will move throughout this house. Father, if we're dealing with something in our lives, I pray, Father, you give us a moment just to reflect on who you are and how great you've been, the things you've got us through before. And Father, if our life is really good right now, I pray that you put people in our mind that we need to pray for, someone that we can hold up, something that we can do. Father, you've blessed us. Help us to be a blessing to others.